And so how did you meet then?
Well, we met in the upper general office.
Were you one of the 43 yeah. ladies that
45.
Was... 45. Five, is it, yeah?
Men and all, I think there were about 50.
I was one of the ringleaders and putting the pulling the clips and the back of my coat.
And we did it too to do, what do you call them?
Gordon Lambert.
We went one day and had a whole string of bulldog clips attached to the back of his jacket.
When I think of Bishop Street and the factory there, thinking of this place that wasn't changed that much since its establishment in the middle of the 19th century.
Yeah.
So was the office, it was without computers and kind of stuff? Oh, yeah. Yes.
No electric typewriters or anything like that.
So what had you there, in fact? Could you describe the office to me as you remember it, back in the war years?
Well, it was quite a fun place to work, because most of us had, you know, we called each other not our own names, but we always had something like Rhoda Glass. She was Yellow Bows, I can remember. We had all sorts of names on the people, but nobody took any, you know, it wasn't malicious or anything.
But they had nicknames.
Yeah, and then we were in sections when it came to rationing. We had to get into what they called sections, and there were about 7 or 8 people in each section, and we took a section of the country. And we had a rationer and a lady who did the typing, or two who did the typing. We each had our own section. Well, like you might be in a Donegal, or you might be in Dublin, Louth, you know, that area, 5 or 6 counties, and we all had our own sections.
And the letters or the invoices that you were sending out, they'd cover the...
Yes, you did for your own section. Yes. You did your own section.
What section did you work on?
Well, I worked in a couple of sections around about, where was it all? I think I worked possibly in most of the sections around. I guess because my geography of Ireland, even though I say it myself, I'd love to do a test in it, because we had to send everything, you see, by...
Rail.
And you had to know all the towns in Ireland, and all the little towns, you had to know what railway station to send the things to. Because, you know, you couldn't just send something to Ross Gray that was meant for Toomey Var or something like that. You know, you had to know all these things. And when we were, traveling through Ireland, I always come out with the thing about... That's rail such and such. Some little village are passing through.
She'd see a signpost for some village or other and say, oh, rail to it.
Yeah, I always give the railway station for
would
it.
Would you? Yeah. Now, this is very interesting, because Jacobs would have supplied biscuits to nearly every shop in the country. And that.
Right.
So could you tell me... would you have noticed the over the years, probably, the change that you had far more grocery shops in the villages?
That's true. Mm. Very true. Mm. There were no supermarkets or anything then, you know, and a man might get 2 tins of biscuits. Every month they got their supply of ration of biscuits, and might be 2 tins would all they'd get for a whole month to supply their shop. Or 3 tins, and then you had to know how to pack those in CB parcels and then cases, and, you know, each amount had to be in a different, would be put into something different.
So you'd have all family-run businesses, would you?
Mm. All family-run. There were a few wholesalers now. We had wholesalers that we would send larger quantities to, and they would have some biscuits to give to their customers.
In recent years, that you have these big stores in the cities now. We never had any of those in our day, really.
No, not like then. We'd have Dwyer's, yeah, Cork.
The local shops and that was it.
And some big wholesalers, like, gosh, it's hard to remember them now. Dwyer's of Cork, I remember them, and
Musgraves,
yeah, and places like that. They would get quite big orders. Of course, they were rationed too.
Yeah. But there were very few of those in our early days in Jacobs. And then gradually they became more and more and more until now, sir. They're all over the place.
They're all wholesalers now.
The big multiples.
Would you know personally the people that you were dealing with down the country?
No.
Or did you get to know any of those shopkeepers?
No.
No, and they were all names to us.
No. The travellers were the people who dealt with them. You know, we had how many travellers? About 20?
I suppose we had, I don't know. Yes, or possibly around 16 to 20. 20
travellers going around the country and going in and out of the shops. Well, they would have known the shopkeepers, but the people in the office wouldn't.
But would you recognise, say, a good customer, somebody's name appearing in an invoice over and over again, you know, where they're good sellers, or, you know...
You mean the people or the biscuits?
The people. Now, yeah.
Well, I think that would be more up to the people on the looking after the accounts.
Yes,
wasn't
and
that, it? Yeah.
And that wasn't so much your job, was
no.
it? Your job was just
to get out the biscuits and
pack them, and it wasn't packing really, it was just seeing exactly where they were going.
Yeah. And they charged, say, was it 4 shillings or something for a case? And the case held 4 tins. That would be a charge.
So, can you take me through the kind of day now where the biscuits would be. Where would they start and where would they finish up in the factory?
Well, they manufacture them in the factory, obviously. Yeah. And
They were manufactured in one place, and the biscuits went through on a conveyor belt, and there were packers at the end of the conveyor belt who packed them into the tins, and they went on into the factory, into the warehouse, and they were all packed in their respective positions.
And is that the stage then that you'd pick them up then when they come off the, when they were in their positions, and you would put them on a trolley?
Well, we never had to do it. It was the factory staff did that. We didn't have anything, like we merely dealt with figures and...
With the office end.
It was the office end.
Work, yeah.
Yeah.
The charging of them and
getting
them out.
Yeah. So, but like you said, you didn't mix with the
yes,
floor.
There was that, yes. Only thing is, in the evening, I remember, there was another big machine thing, and you did what they call loads on it. A huge, big, old, heavy thing. I'm sure the youngsters today, if they saw it, would have a fit. Big thing. And you did the loads, because each load, we'll say, whether it was going by train or whatever to the country, would have to have this to be able to check off the biscuits, you see. Mm. And you'd have to do this load chart, and at 4 o'clock in the evening, whoever was using this machine went out to the factory and spoke to them out there in case there were any changes or that they'd run out of biscuits or, you know, could be some problem. And that was the only time that you were allowed out to the factory. When you went into the place, you were brought over. We had a day that we were brought through the whole factory. But otherwise, we never saw the place again. If you were on this machine, you went out at 4 o'clock to Lily, I think was her name.
Yeah, that's right, Lily.
And you checked out if everything was all right with her, or if you had to take 10 tins of some sort of biscuits that had gone out of stock.